Welcome to PGAFC Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, I bring you greetings in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This Sunday, we are in our second week of our series on Luke, where we try to observe and also to learn from the work of the Holy Spirit in this book. So last week, Pastor Jeremy expounded from the story of Mary, Elizabeth, and Zacharias. And this morning, we will continue with the next part of the story. Let us turn to the word of the Lord, to Luke chapter 2, verse 22 to 38. And I want to invite John, our new ministry worker, to read for us the scriptures this morning.
Test. Good morning, church. I'll give you guys time to open your Bibles or your apps, or it's up on the screen. Luke chapter 2, verse 22 to 38. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. For this is a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that as we look at your word this morning, for your Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to us, that he will give us counsel, wisdom, and guidance, so that we may grow as your disciples, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. So before we go deeper into the text this morning, I would like us to revisit the context of the passage and also the sequence of events. We start firstly with the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of three people: an old priest named Zacharias, his wife Elizabeth, and a young lady named Mary. Now, firstly, I want to highlight the commonalities between these three individuals. We know that an angel revealed himself to Zechariah, promising that Elizabeth's baby will be filled with the Holy Spirit. We also know that Zechariah at first doubted before his lips were sealed. And following this, Mary too was visited by an angel, promising that the Holy Spirit will be at work and she will conceive and give birth to our Lord Jesus. Finally, we also see Elizabeth being filled with the Holy Spirit when Mary came to visit her. Now, if you notice one thing in common between these three characters in the story, is that when all three were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were not able to contain it. Now, one of the sports that I do not have the heart to watch is badminton. And the reason why, because it is too intense, it's too cheeky, especially when Malaysia is playing a big match. And I remember a few years ago, Malaysia was playing. I don't really remember the match. It was a final or a semi-final. And all our eyes was on our national team. Now, I couldn't bear to watch as usual. And so what I did was I took a walk around my neighborhood. But as I walked, I realized that I could actually tell when Malaysia was winning or when they were losing. Because if they won a point, my neighbors couldn't hold it in. They would cheer very loud. You will know one if Malaysia is winning. But if there is silence, especially for a long period of time, then I know that Malaysia is losing. Friends, the Bible tells us that when the Holy Spirit filled these three individuals, they could not help but express themselves. Elizabeth says this to Mary, that she is blessed as the mother of my Lord should visit me. Mary too responded with a song known as the Magnificat. And when Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, he also uttered a prophecy about John and Jesus. And all these things are recorded for us in Luke chapter 1. Now, following these events, we can still trace the work of the Holy Spirit in chapter 2. Because after Jesus was born, we now arrive at the text this morning where it tells us of the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of two senior people, Simeon and Anna. So let's start at the beginning. Now, Mary and Joseph arrived at Bethlehem where she gave birth to Jesus. Now, Luke tells us that Jesus was around 8 days old, 8 days old, and Mary and Joseph were ready to travel to Jerusalem. Now, Bethlehem is quite a distance from Jerusalem. It's around a 10-kilometer journey. And when I was a student in college and university, for me, I was pretty sure that when it comes to cars, I only wanted a sedan because Malaysia, there's too many cars around already. And I was always intrigued to why people would choose an MPV or SUV because it's so bulky, so difficult to drive in Malaysian roads. But as I grew up and as my friends began to get married and to have kids, I realized they began switching to these cars. And I quickly realized the reason why they did so, because you need a lot of space to bring stuff for your kids. And so indeed my heart goes out to all young parents because it's not easy to bring your children out. And even a trip to a nearby mall can be an adventure. So the question is this: why did Mary and Joseph make a 10-kilometer journey on foot with an 8-day-old child? After all, Mary would probably still be recovering from giving birth. And if bringing our young ones to the mall is a challenge, can you imagine bringing a newborn for a 10-kilometer journey? So let us try to put ourselves in the shoes of Mary and Joseph. And if we do so, we would realize that this is a major inconvenience for a new father and a recovering mother. So why? Why did Mary and Joseph make the decision to go to Jerusalem? Well, the text tells us this, that it was because the law of Moses required them to do so, that the firstborn male child needed to be dedicated to the Lord. And so we see that Mary and Joseph were obedient, that despite it being an inconvenient and difficult journey for a new father and a recovering mother, we see that for this family, obedience took priority. Now, this theme of obedience is actually prominent throughout this passage because in the temple, we are told that Mary and Joseph offered a sacrifice as a purification offering. And here, if we read the Old Testament, we can deduce the financial context of Mary and Joseph and what it actually cost them. For this is what it says in Leviticus chapter 12, verse 6 to 8. When the days of her purification for a son or daughter are over, she is to bring to the priest at the entrance to the tent of meeting a year-old lamb for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or dove for a sin offering. He shall offer them before the Lord to make atonement for her and she will be ceremonially clean from her flow of blood. These are the regulations for the woman who gives birth to a boy or girl. But if she cannot afford a lamb, she is to bring two doves or two young pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for her and she will be clean. So here, as the passage of this morning tells us, the items of sacrifice from Mary and Joseph were a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. And because of this, we can deduce that they could not afford a lamb because Mary and Joseph were poor. Now, this is an important point because during the times of Jesus, the temple was both a spiritual landmark, but it was also a corrupt institution. And the reason why Jesus was so angry later on in his ministry that he flipped table, that he did what he did, was because a place that was originally meant to signify the presence of God is now being used to exploit the poor. In fact, Jesus, in his own words, will call it a den of robbers. Now, why was this? Well, firstly, the temple sold animals. Now, this is actually an essential service, as traveling with a live lamb or doves or pigeons is tricky, especially if you live far away. For example, if you travel from Galilee to Jerusalem, it is a three-day journey on foot, and most likely, your sacrifice won't survive the trip. This makes the selling of animals convenient for pilgrims making their way to the temple, especially for those that lived far away. However, the problem is this, and I'm sure that we in Malaysia can relate to this, that when it comes to appointing people in positions that is guaranteed to make money, we know that it is usually the cronies that will get the job. And so the selling of animals wasn't cheap. It was expensive. The word nowadays they use is called tourist tax. And as the because the sellers would mark up the price in order to make a hefty profit. Furthermore, the money in those days had the head of Caesar, which is considered by the Roman Empire as either God or the Son of God. And so bringing the Roman coin into the temple was not permitted. It is equivalent to bringing in a foreign idol. And so conveniently, just like a casino, the temple had services to change money to one that can be used in the temple. And just like the selling of animals, those who were authorized to sell money was also appointed by the corrupt leaders. And they too charged an unfavorable rate in order to make a profit. And so if you were poor, in order to perform your religious duties, you would be cheated not once, but twice. Firstly, by the money changers, and secondly, by the ones selling animals. And in Matthew chapter 21, verse 12, that's why we read that Jesus specifically addressed these two groups of people. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the table of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. So here, we can see that Mary and Joseph was faithful to the ceremonial commandments of the law of Moses, and they sacrificed convenience, their financial resources, and even their safety to fulfill the necessary. And I think that we as Christians today can learn something from this. Because when it comes to our convenience, our financial resources, or maybe other things, sometimes you are reluctant to do the same. Now, firstly, I must be clear. Obeying ceremonial commandments does not save anyone. It does not lead to salvation, nor does it make a person a better or worse Christian. However, I believe these things have value. After all, the book of Leviticus is a whole book dedicated to the ceremonial acts of worship. So maybe for us Christians today, what are some ceremonial acts of worship? Now, I believe this is something actually as simple as coming to church on Sunday or being consistent in attending cell groups. And yes, coming to church can be inconvenient. Waking up early with a young family is not easy. Finding parking in PJEFC after 9:50 a.m. is tough. And with Giant One increasing their parking per entry to 5 ringgit and 50 cents, it's not cheap to come to church anymore. Now, I'm not trying to guilt trip anyone except if you are working in Jaya One. But I do understand the challenges of worshipping in the Klang Valley in the 21st century. And here, I think the actions of Mary and Joseph teaches us that ceremonial obedience is important. And ceremonial obedience has a cost. It will cost us time. It will cost us energy. It will cost us money. It will cost us convenience. But yet, at the same time, I believe that fulfilling it is indeed pleasing to the Lord. And indeed, their obedience would lead to an act of blessing to these two very senior and respected figures, Simeon and Anna. Because if Joseph and Mary didn't obey, Simeon and Anna would have never met Jesus. So let's start with Simeon. Who is Simeon? Well, Scripture tells us that he was righteous and devout. However, if you look at the descriptions a little bit more, we will see that his expectations for the Messiah was one that is common with the Israelites, because the text states that he was waiting for the Messiah to rescue Israel. So here his expectations was for the Messiah to be one that would deliver Israel from Rome. And so just like his fellow Jews, despite being devout and righteous, Simeon also expected a political savior that would deliver Israel from the grip of Caesar. And so let us observe the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of Simeon. Now, Luke tells us that Simeon was a person filled with the Holy Spirit, and that it was revealed to him that he would not die until he has seen the Messiah. Now, there is something interesting of note here, because the Bible tells us that it was the Holy Spirit who led Simeon to the temple that day. So, church, this is what we call a divine encounter. The Holy Spirit brought Mary and Joseph to the temple at the same time that he led Simeon to meet them. Here we can see that naturally and supernaturally, the Holy Spirit is facilitating this encounter. And friends, this is a monumental moment in the life of Simeon as he had the privilege to witness the Lord for himself. Now, maybe when we look at Scripture, as we read of these encounters, I wonder if you have ever thought, how come these things happen a lot in the Bible? But how come it doesn't happen to me? Well, friends, here is a word of encouragement. The same Holy Spirit that worked in the past is still at work today. And today, even this morning, He is still facilitating these encounters. There are countless stories, even in the lives of people here in this hall, where the Holy Spirit that has facilitated an encounter that changed everything. Now, these encounters can be dramatic and life-changing, or maybe it could be discreet, where just as God gave Elijah enough to go on when he was discouraged, maybe for us today, it is a short word or prayer that can encourage a fellow brother or sister in Christ. I remember a few years ago, I was going through a season where I was spiritually dry. And when I was in church, I met an old friend who was staying in Australia who came back for a short holiday. And as I caught up and talked with him, his words, especially on his spiritual growth in Australia, were the words that I needed to hear. And I left church that day with my spirits lifted. Friends, these encounters of the spirits are happening all the time. They happen in the workplace. They happen in cell groups. They happen in conversations in the mamak. And they happen in church. Friends, the Holy Spirit is always at work, and these encounters are happening all the time. But just because it is the Spirit that is facilitating these encounters, this doesn't mean that we don't have a role to play. And maybe an easy application for us is this: come earlier to church and stay later afterwards. I'm sure that you notice that we have refreshments every week, and last week we even had nasi lemak. Now, there is a reason for this, so that after the service that we can stay back and fellowship together and prayerfully that the Spirit would facilitate some of these encounters as we talk and interact with one another. So after the service, don't rush for lunch. Take some time to catch up with one another. Maybe talk to an unfamiliar face or to the person reaching for the same biscuit as you. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And don't be afraid to start conversations or to say a short word of encouragement or prayer for one another. So in this encounter, Simeon praised God, saying that he can finally die in peace because he has seen the Savior. But more importantly are actually the words that he would say next. And he would say this, that this Savior is given to all people, that he is a light to reveal God to all nations, and he is the glory of Israel. Now, friends, I want us to contrast his words right now with his earlier expectations that Jesus is a political Messiah exclusive to the Israelites. Because here we see that the Holy Spirit revealing to him the truth, that Jesus is meant to be a blessing not just to Israel, but to the Jews and also the Gentiles. Now, this is one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, that he will reveal himself to us despite our biases or prejudices. Now, all of us has bias and prejudices. And as we study the word of the Lord, the Holy Spirit would challenge some of these things. And there are situations where we might think that we are right, but over time, the Holy Spirit might correct some of these bias and prejudices and show us how God views things. Friends, I want us to think about our theological bias, or maybe our views towards a certain person, a certain group of people or ideas. Maybe it is a practice, a tradition, a belief, or something that we have been doing for a long time. And so my question for us is this: how open are we to be proven wrong, to be corrected? Friends, while the Holy Spirit reveals the truth to us, our posture is also important. And my prayer is that the Lord allow us to be humble enough to allow the Holy Spirit to correct our minds, our hearts, and our actions. Now we come to the final person in this passage. And this person is Anna, the prophetess. And Scripture describes her as a pious and faithful Jew. Now, one of the things that I've learned about social skills is that we generally shouldn't ask people their age, as it can be offensive to them. And it is only in a context that is honorable, like maybe one former prime minister taking a job when he was 90 years old, or when someone lives up to 100, that we can bring out age with pride. So some commentators will place Anna anywhere between 84 to 105 years old. And this was a time where the expected lifespan was just slightly over 30. And so Anna's age indicated that she is a respected, wise, and faithful person. And indeed, she has dedicated her life to one full of worship, because we read that she never left the temple and she fasted and prayed often. So just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, here we see the Holy Spirit facilitating another divine encounter. For when Anna saw Jesus, she began praising God and prophesying that this is indeed the promised king who will come and deliver Jerusalem. So what are some lessons that we can learn from Anna? Well, just like Simeon and many Jews, Anna was waiting for the Messiah. And I think there's a few things that we can learn from Anna and the posture of waiting. You see, there are many ways of waiting. There is a passive kind of wait, and there is also an active kind. Let me give us an example. Let's say when it comes to boarding a flight, one could just arrive in the airport, head into the boarding lounge, and wait for their turn to board the plane. But someone can also wait another way. Maybe when they arrive at the airport, they would check the information that is needed, like which gate to go, where to board, or if there are any flight delays. One could also prepare to buy food before they arrive in the airport so that they could save money, especially if you're flying Air Asia. One could also prepare headrests, thick clothes, and noise-canceling headphones to make sure that your flight could be as comfortable as possible. And so here we can see a difference between a passive wait and an active one. And an active wait means that we are proactive and intentional as we prepare for something or someone. So Anna is actively waiting for Jesus, and we can see that her posture is one full of worship. And I think there is something that we can learn as we Christians wait for Jesus to come again. And just like Anna, we are encouraged to pray, to practice spiritual disciplines, and to worship the Lord with our words and actions. Now, in a world where we want instant gratification, we think is actually a good discipline to cultivate. And friends, have we considered that maybe the most important thing about prayer is the process of prayer and how it helps us grow in our faith? And I think that a misunderstood concept of prayer is that we are asking for a favor or asking something to be done. Maybe we are praying for a new job, for God to help us pass our exams, or for a new girlfriend or boyfriend. But when I think that when it comes to prayer, there is too much focus on the outcome. And I think the beauty of prayer is actually in the process, because it is in the process of prayer where we wait, where our hearts are forged, where we are tested, and where the Holy Spirit can reveal our hearts and our true intentions. There is a saying that we can't change the outcome, that prayer can't change the outcome, but sometimes prayer can change our perspective, and sometimes this can make all the difference. Now, actually, I'm preaching to myself because prayer is something that I really need to grow in. And I believe that in a world where we just want to do things or just to take action in order to obtain results, maybe one way that we can grow in 2026 is prayer. Because prayer, after all, draws us closer to God. It teaches us to trust in Him. It helps us change our perspective. It reveals the deceits on our hearts. And most importantly, it teaches us to focus on Jesus, to focus on God. Now, Reverend Dickey has been a key person in my growth as a pastor. And in his last week in the office before retiring, he said these wise words. A pastor's job is to preach and to pray. We preach the word of God and we pray for our members. And that's why we do visitation, so that we can learn more about the lives of our members, so we know how to pray for them better. So church, just like Anna and Simeon and the many saints throughout history, let us learn to cultivate our prayer life and let us let the process of prayer shape our walk with Jesus. So before we wrap up, I want us to take a step back to summarize the gist of the passage this morning. Now, one thing in common between these four characters is that we see the Holy Spirit working in Mary, in Joseph, in Simeon and Anna. And one thing that we can see that is common in these four characters is that the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to them, and this will change their lives forever. Friends, this is one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, that it reveals Jesus to humanity. Last week, we read how the Holy Spirit revealed Jesus to Elizabeth, Zechariah, and Mary. And today we read that the Holy Spirit revealed Jesus to Simeon and Anna. And as we continue to observe the journey of Jesus through the book of Luke, and even as the disciples continue his work in the book of Acts, we will see that the Holy Spirit will continue to reveal Jesus to people, and this revelation will change people's lives forever. Now, friends, as I said earlier, the same Holy Spirit didn't stop working 2,000 years ago, but throughout history, He has always been at work, and He has been revealing Jesus to people all over the world, regardless of their education, of their culture, of their language, or of their circumstance, and people's lives will change forever. In fact, for most of us today, the Holy Spirit has done the same thing. At one point in our lives, He has revealed Jesus to us, and our lives were never the same. So friends, the Holy Spirit is still revealing Jesus to people today. And even this morning, as we worship as a congregation, the Holy Spirit also is continuing to reveal Jesus to us, because we see Jesus in the songs that we sing. We see Jesus as we celebrate the Holy Communion. We see Jesus as the Word of God is read and preached this morning. And we see Jesus as we continue to fellowship at the Kopitiam later. Friends, sometimes it's just that simple. The revelation of Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit is able to change lives. And without this, conversion or evangelism does not happen. In fact, it is not fancy plays or entertaining or enlightening sermons or even social work that converts people. It is not apologetics or having answers for every single question that will lead people to Christianity. Now, yes, the Lord can work through all these things, and these things are good, and the church should do them. But my point is this, that it is only when the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to a person where the person is able to become, is able to come to Christ. And so the primary work of evangelism then is prayer and dependence on the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to people. And friends, when Jesus is revealed, people change. Because as we see the person of Jesus, we are inspired by his grace, by his love for people, by his words of wisdom, and by his acts of mercy. As we remember the work of Jesus on the cross, we are reminded of his sacrifice, knowing that he has saved humanity from sin and death, and there is hope for the future. As we hold on to the promise of Jesus that he will indeed come again, we will continue to wait actively in obedience and prayer in the certain hope that he will indeed return, and he will continue to strengthen us, to give us courage and wisdom and a spirit of grace as we partner and as we witness the work of the Holy Spirit as he reveals Jesus to our friends, our family, and community. In a short moment, the worship team will lead us in a hymn. This is a hymn that teaches us to put our center on Jesus, that we will see him in all things, and that we will trust him to continue to help us grow as his disciples.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org. Love God, love people, make disciples.